Well, good morning. We can do better. Good morning. Well, my name is Prashant Betu. I'm a pastoral intern here. It's great opportunity, and his presence is in this place. Amen. And it's such a privilege to worship him this morning. And let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father God, what a privilege you gave us to call you Father. We don't deserve it, but your grace made it possible. It is beyond our ability to comprehend your love and grace and mercy that you showed us on every single day. The universe, the earth, and everything in it is created and came into existence only through you. Jesus, you are the center of everything. Holy Spirit, guide us and lead us. Speak to us. It's not about us, but it's all about you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. We are in a third week of series that we call Dear Church. And we're going to look into Paul's letter of Colossians. In our book, this book deals with supremacy of Jesus. Paul is trying to explain to the church in Colossae, hey, Jesus is center of everything. He is the creator. He is the sustainer of all things. And he is giving so much of information. He is super excited to talk about Jesus to the church in Colossae because they had a little problem there. Basically, it is talking about Jesus plus nothing equals to everything. Jesus plus nothing equals to everything, and he is the creator and he is the redeemer of everything. And how do we live Christ as keeping us everything in the forefront? Jesus first. It is really interesting to talk about so many different things, especially with the culture. I got some different experience with letters. I grew up in a culture where we don't really write letters or anything of those things unless until there is something like a very, very important thing to share. And we don't even like send greeting cards or birthday cards or seasonal greetings. No, we didn't grow up because there's reason for that. There are a lot of people who can't read and write, and there's nothing wrong in that, but we are not used to writing letters. But when there is something important to share, obviously we'll write letters. And when you receive letter, a lot of people can't read and write, so they need help from somebody else. So they take this letter to somebody else and they'll ask them to read for them so that they know what is in the letter. And oh, okay. And they will be happy if it is a good news, they'll be sad if it is a bad news. But in case of emergency, I don't know any of you know, some people might know that in case of emergency, we use something called telegram. It's way back then, right? That's how I grew up. I know some people are like nodding their head because they know what I'm talking about. So the interesting thing with telegram is it comes in English. So here people already can't read and write our own language. And when it comes to English, it gets more interesting. But there is a solution for that. What happens with telegram? When the telegram, the post mailman comes in and, hey, here is a telegram for you. And usually whenever telegram comes to your house, people will freak out. They don't even read the telegram. They start crying, sobbing. Like, there's a whole lot of thing going on. But the solution is there will be people in the whole village. One guy, I call him that guy. That guy can read English, and trust me, that's how it goes. So this guy, sitting in his comfort chair, this is not, reading his newspaper, it's going to be, and he knows, because they are coming with like already tears and everything going on, they bring this telegram, looking at them, he realizes, oh, there is an important, now I'm on big demand, okay? So everything goes in slow motion because he's trying to show off his thing. So he takes the newspapers like this, sir, we have an emergency telegram. We don't know what's happening. Can you read that for us? He goes, He takes the paper slowly down, puts it there, and he puts back his glasses, and it takes like 2-3 minutes, and he'll be like trying to set it up, and he holds the telegram. He says, "Your son." That's it. There's big drama going on there because they are freaking out. He said, "Your son." He said, "Hold on, I didn't finish my letter yet." So he reads, "Oh, nothing to worry. Your son is coming back from military for holidays." And then they goes out with a joy because the son is coming back home. But this guy has a lot of power when he got letter because he alone can read. Pretty much that is what happening with letters back then. Paul did not send a bulk emails or group text messages. He sent a letter and he asked them to read out loud in the church. And then he said, pass this letter to the church in different parts. That's what he did. And we are so blessed to read and write today. Paul is telling very interesting things in this book. I am so blessed. As I was reading this book, this made me realize like how blessed we are. We have looked so far book of Thessalonians and Galatians. Today we are looking at the Paul's letter to Colossians. Before we look into this text, let's look at a little bit of context and the background of what's happening in the city. Colossae is a city. It's not really a big deal because it is it shared a river valley, which is a southwestern Turkey of today. There are two major cities, Laodicea and Hierapolis are the two big cities, and Colossae is not a big of a deal back then. But there used to be a Roman highway where there is a lot of trade and people traveling. There's so many things happening using this Roman highway back then. Those highways are a really big deal, but Colossae is not big, but as they're traveling through it, the Colossian church has experienced or exposed to different kinds of things. As business happens, you get to meet so many different kinds of people. That's what's happening here. And the people are exposed to foreign religions. So many things like new moon, food, dietary. You got to do this way. You can't do this day. You can't do some kinds of things on this day. There are so many things they got exposed to, but they already heard about Jesus. But there is something uncertainty that is happening in this church. Paul is explaining, hey, don't try to be extra holy. That's what Colossians are trying. Like they're doing something called Jesus and. We follow these restrictions. Jesus and are Jewish traditions that are happening here. There, Paul realized, and Paul has never visited this church, but he heard about what is happening there, and he wrote a letter saying, hey, you are losing the track. You are going off track. You got to come back on track and focus on Jesus. That's the whole message of Colossians. It's like, hello? Jesus is unique. That's what Paul is saying. Hey, hey, come on. You're trying to move here and there, having steps here and there. No. Come back. Jesus is unique. Jesus is everything. Paul, when he's explaining, I'm like, which is, we have a saying here in United States, that's like, butter makes everything better, right? I don't know about butter, but Paul is literally explaining, hey, Jesus, all you need is Jesus. He makes everything better. No, the best. You got to stay focused on Jesus. You don't get away with all kinds of things that you experience in the world. What you got is the best. Stay with it. Paul explains in a beautiful way to stay away from this heresy. He says, he exalts Christ as the very image of God, the creator, the pre-existent sustainer of all things, the head of the church and the first to be resurrected, the fullness of deity in bodily form, and the one who reconciles all things to God. Paul is so passionate. When he's explaining about Jesus, he's like, I mean, every time I read this passage, there are goosebumps because he's describing Jesus in a very unique way. That's what we need to know. He is unique God. Last week we heard, it's an amazing service. I am so blessed. Last week, I'm really glad I was here. Olive shared an amazing story I mean, that's just touched my heart. And between, she shared one story where she had a problem and she's trying to hide herself in the field. She was hiding herself and covered with a blanket, and all of a sudden there is something weird happened, dangerous thing happened. She started feeling that snake is wrapping around her, and all she could do is, she can't scream because she's trying to hide herself. But all she did, it's beautiful. I really loved that part. She started reciting the verse or the chapter that she learned. That's Psalms 23. I don't know, if I was in that place, I was screaming out for help. But she started reciting Psalms 23. And the miracle happened right there. It's because the power in his word. Some sort of almost like that situation happened in my life. I was never planning to come to the United States to go to school because I don't want to get trouble with English. But it was a miraculous thing. It was like an overnight thing. I was randomly Googling top seminaries in the world. I don't know why I did, but I did. And Asbury Seminary came up, one of those, and I was just opening a link, and long story short, I kind of ended up applying that night. And that became like next Friday, they sent me email saying, hey, this is your student ID, congratulations, come on in. I'm like, this is not what I was expecting. So here is the thing, now I got admission, but now I have to go to the United States. In order to go to the United States, I should have a visa. So in that process, I went to U.S. Embassy, and I got in there. I was so confident because everything is falling in place so nicely. I'm not even having any hard time. They waived my application fees. They waived my English proficiency test because they don't know how I speak English. They thought I can speak. All those things are like, I'm passing everything. So I was so confident, bold, sitting in the office. And they said, next, Prashant. I walked up there. He asked me tons of questions. I was like so bold, answering everything perfect. And he said, sorry, we can't give you a visa. I'm like, sure, because I can stay with my family. I don't need to worry. But as I went home, my father said, hey, God has a different plan for you. You should apply now. I'm like, I just got rejected today. I don't think I can apply. But he said, just do it. And I did. And I went again a couple of days later. I walked into the embassy. This time, I am shaking. Like, you can see me because already I was rejected. There is a lot of money I've spent on this. It's so weird experience. And I said, he asked me questions. I said, everything absolutely wrong. This time I messed up. And he said, you know what? Hold on. Just a second. Answer me finally these things. I said, yes, sir. He said, what's your favorite Bible verse? I'm like, what? This is a visa interview, not a memory verse class. I said, for God so loved the world and gave his only son, which is from John 3:16. And he said, good. He said, what's your second favorite Bible verse? I said, for him, all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, whether visible or invisible, whether the thrones or powers or authorities, all things are created through him and for him. That's from Colossians 1:16. And he said, congratulations, work hard. I was totally blown away. The scriptures has power. All we need to do is read, study, meditate, contemplate, keep them in our hearts. You don't know when is it going to save you. It's going to help you on every single day. There is power with the scriptures. That's why we are doing this, dear church. We are trying to learn scriptures. There is power in his word. As Paul is saying, dear church, Christ is supreme. Dear church, Christ is supreme. Let me explain a little bit here. Dear church, Christ is supreme. That word supreme is kind of messed up a little bit these days. I don't know if you agree with me or not. Because we find this word supreme everywhere, like supreme chalupas, supreme nachos. But Paul is not talking about those kind of supreme. Paul is beautifully explaining the meaning of supreme. We kind of messed up a little bit, but Paul has this beautiful idea, is saying Christ is supreme. Let's read in chapter 1, verse 15 to 20. The Son is the image of invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether the thrones or powers or authorities or rulers. All things have been created through him and for him. He is above all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn among the dead, so that in everything he might have supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. He's explaining Jesus is the only authority. Jesus is the only authority. He's saying Jesus is everything. Look into the past, Jesus was there. Look into the future, he's going to be there. He is everywhere. Sometimes we take his presence or Jesus' power and authority for granted. I don't know if you have done that before or not, but I've done it. I agree with that. I've taken Jesus for granted. Let's invite Jesus onto the stage right now. Yeah, we have Jesus in our midst. You don't believe me? Okay, you're going to see Jesus in a second right now. So we have Jesus here. We take Jesus really for granted. If you don't agree with me or not, Let's give, this is what we do. Let's give Jesus his place. Lord, I commit my life to you. This is what I've done. I don't know if you've done or not, but Jesus, thank you so much for coming into my life. I submit to you. Lord, wherever you lead me, I will follow. Lord, show me your will. Teach me, guide me, and everything looks good. Life is getting a lot comfortable. There's times what we do is, yes, life is so good. Jesus, you know what? We make really good team. High five, Jesus. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. Well done. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Really good. What am I doing? I kicked him out. And now my boss stopped talking to me. Oh my goodness, I can't afford to lose my job. Jesus, please come back. Please, please, please lead me. I can't afford, because this job is very important for me. Without this job, I can't survive. Oh, there's a new job interview. Come on. Good pay and good benefits in the salary. Jesus, thank you. Thank you so much. Life is getting better. And he's like, he's confused. What am I doing? Jesus, test results are going wrong. Please, no. Please take care of me. Our test results are getting, oh, it's just something wrong in the mission. So everything is good. Jesus, come on. You know what, Jesus? I got one more request. I've been single for a long time. I need a girl. Jesus? Oh, one second. Let me pick her. You pick the girl and you say, Jesus, I want her in my life. Please, 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 please. And you get married. Life is getting so good and comfortable. Jesus is doing great things in my life. And it's the time where you feel, Jesus, why did you give this girl in my life? It's me who picked it up. And some of us are so spiritual. I don't mean to say, we make negotiations with Jesus. Can you, Jesus? Can you little bit, little more, Jesus? No, seriously, this makes Jesus uncomfortable and myself too. Are you comfortable? No. But this may sound funny, but this is what we've been doing. When life gets miserable, when life gets hurting, we try to, some of us are even more different. We make our whole list, and see, all we need is, because we are so spiritual, we've been growing up in church for a long time, and now we say, Jesus, this is what I wanted. Can you co-sign on it? Thank you, Justin. Thank you, Jesus. You know what? Jesus did not die on the cross to do your will. Jesus died on the cross to do Father's will. All you need to do is humbling ourselves and submitting to His will. Jesus did not die on the cross to partner with you. Jesus died on the cross to save you. The God who is above all things, the creator, sustainer, the giver of life. I mean, He is such a big God, but trying to help us. And we are trying to take advantage of Him and trying to make Him sit and stand with our little tricks. And we think we are smart. That's what's happening in the church in Colossians. He never wants to control, like, number one, turn left. Number two, turn right. No. He has given us that opportunity to come to His presence. He has never showed grace depending on our deeds. He had showed grace unconditionally. His love is unconditional. His grace is unconditional. There is no one like Him. There is none like Him. There is no one was born like He did. There is no one who has lived life like He did. There is no one who loved people like He did. There is no one who did ministry like He did. There is no one who did miracles like He did. There is no one did lived among the people like He did. There is no one submitted to Father like He did. There is no one died on the cross like He did. There is no one resurrected back with the power like He did. There is no one ever promised to come back for you and me like He did. He is unique God. His name is Jesus. He is unique. There is power, but we take advantage of Him sometimes. The struggle with the Colossian church, they are not actually struggling with disbelief. They are trying to find themselves in a business of Jesus and. Let's see the next thing what Paul is talking about. He said, Christ is our salvation. He's saying, dear church, Christ is our salvation. His sacrifice is the only way we can experience salvation. His sacrifice is the only way we experience salvation. Absolutely, there is no other way. Jesus sacrificed on the cross, where that opened doors for us to have access to the salvation and life. Let's read in Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 to 8. So then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you are taught and overflowing with thankfulness. Everybody say thankfulness. Man, this is amazing. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and elemental forces of this world rather than on Christ. As I mentioned, they are not actually struggling with disbelief. Colossians are trying to supplement their faith with Jewish traditions, regulations, and other kinds of religious things that they have been exposed to. So they're thinking, yes, we got Jesus. Yes, we are good. And they're trying to say, Jesus and my traditions. Jesus and my life. Jesus. And I do a little bit of dietary restrictions depending on my religion. That's not happening. Paul is simply in chapter 2 and 3, we see so many things he's explaining. Hey, don't try to get your religious things worked out perfect. No. Because Paul says the sacrifice of Jesus is enough, guys. You are covered. You don't need anything else. They were exposed to different kind of stuff and religious things. I mean, in fact, I grew up in a country where I heard so much about religion. I'm not just talking about Christianity. I'm talking about so many religions I was exposed to. I've seen so many religious rituals that happen all the time. When I say all the time, I'm from a little town called Mangalagiri. And this town, according to Wikipedia, actually it is really old town. According to Wikipedia, they say it is founded in 225 BC. I was not born. 225 BC, it's really old town. In this town, it's a very common thing we see all the time. You walk to a street corner, there is an idol. People worshiping the idol right there. In the middle of the street, this can happen, or next to the street. When it happens on the middle of the street, you take a U-turn and go different way. I mean, that's the only way you can do it. You can survive there. And in my town, there is a temple, very, very popular and famous temple. That's also a common thing. That's not a big deal. But in this temple, people pray to God and they bring offerings. That's also a common thing. What's different with this temple is they don't bring all kinds of offerings. They bring something called, which is almost like, that's different in my language, but it is actually sugar syrup. Yeah, God must be really sweet. They bring sugar syrup. Actually, when they bring the sugar syrup, they pour into the mouth of the god. The idol that is in the temple is basically wide open mouth. It is almost 15 centimeters wide open mouth. And they bring the sugar syrup and pour into this god's mouth. I mean, this has been happening for hundreds of years, not from this century. It has been happening for years and years and years. Funny thing here is people bring this and give it to the priest, and the priest will take and pour it into the god's mouth. As he is pouring, you hear God is gulping. I'm serious, yeah. And exactly when it gets to the half, for example, you brought like a one bottle or you bought 10 pots, wherever it is. For one bottle, when it gets to half, like half bottle, the God gonna make a noise, almost sounds like a burp. And when that happens, that is a sign that God is satisfied and the rest is his blessing for you. So you take it home and you give to your family members. This is a real thing. Oh, come on, we can do that when we pour into a small pipe. I know how the trick, how we can do it. Yeah, we can do it that if we are good enough in using the science and the pipes and all those things. I don't know how to use it. But the more interesting thing or different thing here is this has been happening. Sugar syrup is not spicy. It is sweet, which attracts ants, flies. I mean, you can't imagine. It's been happening for hundreds and thousands of years. And can you imagine how it's going to look like? But believe it or not, Satan has power. There are zero ants or flies in this place. And people have been blinded with the evil one, and they worship this idol all the time. What happened when I see this thing that really breaks my heart? I mean, literally, there is nothing, but people believe that it is God and they're trying to follow these traditions and rules and rituals. But when I came to United States and I was started traveling, I mean, there is no idol on any road. There is no idol next to the road. I mean, literally, there are no temples. Like, I got used to that seeing all the time. In fact, it was the opposite direction where I see churches everywhere. And I got so excited, but that excitement did not really last too long. This burdens my heart because things doesn't look that way. Satan is creative. Yeah, he is creative and very deceptive. He is trying to blind people's eyes. Today, for some of us, it's unbelievable. The things that we are running after, we are trying to replace some of the things in our life, which is almost like I have my dream. Pretty much we go replace Jesus with our dreams, our goals, our visions, or what we want to do in the next 5 years, what we're going to do for our family, my children, my brother, my sister, my parents, my house. This is my dream house. This is my dream car. We are running after those things, making those as our idols. Only difference is the way you worship is different. Jesus does not want that. But we make idols that are replacing Jesus. We are taking his place. Anything that replaces the presence of Jesus is an idol in our life. I know that's not easy. It's really difficult. But Paul is not even thinking even a second. He's saying, hey, Jesus is the only way of salvation. There are not too many ways. There is nothing called Jesus and. Paul just said, you know what? Jesus is the only source of our salvation. Dear church, I don't know what is an idol in your life, but Paul is explaining how this God of universe is coming to us, who is with us and within us, has a unique place. There is nothing that can replace the name of Jesus. The purpose of this sermon is not to make you feel guilty. The purpose of the book of Colossians is not to make you feel guilty. It's absolutely to make us realize how free we are in Christ, how much grace we have been receiving from him, how loving and merciful God he is. Think about it. If you have surrendered your life to Christ, you already have access to the source of all your life and salvation. All you need is Jesus. All we need is Jesus. You don't have to work hard to supplement your faith. You don't need to do certain kind of things to acquire his salvation or draw his attention. He is there with us and within us all the time. Jesus is the only source of salvation. Paul says it beautifully. So it's not Jesus and my dreams. It is not Jesus and my goals. It's not Jesus and my Facebook. It's not Jesus and my house. No, he said Jesus, period. It's not Jesus and, it is Jesus, period. There is nothing after him. There is nothing before him. The God of universe who said, I will call you as my child, and he did. He is a supreme God who is above all things, never sat there. He came to us, lived among us, and showed the way how to live the life. And he said, I am with you wherever you go. That's the beauty of this God. That kind of God we have, that's what Paul is explaining to Colossians. Hey, don't get into a business of Jesus and. It is Jesus, period. There is nothing else that can supplement your faith because he has given us that beautiful life of salvation. Don't take it for granted. He is with us. I don't know if you are here for the first time and if you realize that Jesus is the only way. Absolutely, he is the only way. You want to commit your life to Jesus, you're welcome to do it. Or if you are struggling with something in your life and you're thinking this thing is becoming a big idol in my life, Jesus said there is still hope and opportunity. He is a graceful and loving God. What a beauty. What a beauty he has given. There are things that are coming in our life, making more comfortable with those things, and we are trying to move out. No. If you got Jesus, you got covered. You got everything. You don't need to work hard for it. All you need to do is submit your life and say, Jesus, all I need is you. All I need is you. What an amazing God. If you want to come forward this morning, let's worship our God saying, give me Jesus. You're welcome to come forward, or if you want to sit there and pray, he is there, right there. Always wanted to love us, show us grace, show us mercy. He is with us and he is within us. It's not Jesus and, it is absolutely Jesus, period. Let's pray. Oh, Jesus. Jesus. We are trying to replace so many things with you. experience that beauty of salvation, and when things get comfortable and we are taking your presence as for granted, Lord, we are so sorry. We want to come back to you once again. Lord, you be the center. All I need is Jesus. Be with us. Be with us. Thank you for your presence in this place. Bless all these people in this room. You are center of everything. We are surrendering our lives to you. Lord, we bow down in your presence. There is no qualification to be called your sons and daughters, but only your sacrifice made that happen. We are so thankful. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.